Well, today I'd like to focus again on the first reading, this great reading from the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 18, the first eight verses. And the Acts of the Apostles is such a wonderful book. If you want to read a very interesting and exciting book, the Acts of the Apostles is a great place to start because it's filled with activity and miracles and all sorts of amazing things. So we see here in the first eight verses that Paul has just left Athens, where he had spent some time in very difficult missionary work. He was largely rejected, wound up having to go to Corinth, and with very little money. And, of course, Corinth was noted in those days for being one of the most evil cities in the world because it was an area where all the big ships would come in and all the sailors would come in, and there's all sorts of immorality and drinking and all sorts of terrible things. They even worshipped the goddess Aphrodite there. And so it was one of the sort of like the one of the most sinful parts of the known world. So Paul goes there and he would spend a year and a half trying to spread the good news and tell people about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It says there he met a Jewish man named Aquila and his wife Priscilla, and these were converts. They had been born and raised of the Jewish faith. They were now a Christian couple. They had come from Italy because Claudius, who was the emperor, the governor at the time, had ordered all those of Jewish heritage to leave Rome, and that occurred in the year 50 AD, according to other historians. So this was a young Christian couple, Aquila and Priscilla. And they were a tremendous help to St. Paul. They gave him lots of encouragement and lots of help. And it says that he went to live with them, and he stayed with them a year and a half because Aquila was also a tent maker. That was Paul's background and tradition. He was born and raised, as you know, as a very strict Pharisee, a strict Jew. But he also had a trade, and he was a tent maker by profession. That might help you win some points at Catholic trivia, right? If they ask you, what did St. Paul do before he became an apostle? He was a maker of tents. Now, it's interesting when John Paul II commented on this young Christian couple. He says, just as at the dawn of Christianity, Aquila and Priscilla were presented as a missionary couple, so today the church shows forth her perennial newness and fruitfulness by the presence of Christian couples who work in missionary territories, proclaiming the gospel and doing service to their fellow man for the love of Jesus Christ. So we have, even in the earliest days of the church, husbands and wives that would work together to share the faith and to spread the faith. And even today, husbands and wives have gone to other countries to do missionary work. It continues even to our very day that some couples are called to do missionary work in faraway places. And then the first reading continues that every Sabbath, it says, Paul would enter into discussions in the synagogue, attempting to convince both Jews and Greeks about the salvation in Jesus Christ. Well, then it says, Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia. Paul began to occupy himself totally with preaching the word, testifying to the Jews that the Christ was Jesus. See, that's the main thing that he was trying to explain to the Jewish people, that Jesus was the Messiah. Their long-awaited Messiah had come, but he wasn't the kind of Messiah that they expected. He wasn't a political leader. He wasn't going to overthrow the Romans. He was a suffering servant that Isaiah prophesied. He was the Redeemer. He paid the price for our sins. He was the Paschal Lamb, the Passover Lamb that would redeem the world. So this was the kind of Messiah that Jesus was. He was the Christ, the anointed one of God, that he was the Son of God, but he was rejected largely by the people. But he was the Messiah. It says they opposed Paul and reviled him. And so because of that, it says Paul shook out his garments Remember, Jesus says, if they don't accept you, shake the dust off your feet and go to the next town and keep preaching. That's what Paul didn't even just shake his shoes. He shook his whole clothes. He shook all of his garments. Didn't want any dust from that town on him. And Paul says, your blood be on your heads. I am clear of responsibility. From now on, I'll preach the truth to the Gentiles. So notice that Paul knew what he had to do. He told the truth, and it wasn't up to him to convert them. It was up to God's grace, but all his job was to be a faithful messenger, to preach the gospel with truth and charity, and to present the message. If they rejected him, it wouldn't be on his conscience, on his shoulders. It would be upon them. That's why he says, your blood be on your own heads. I am clear of this responsibility. I tried to teach you, says Paul, the truth about Christ. If you accept it, great. If you don't, well, that's going to be then on your responsibility. So then he goes to preach to the Gentiles. And this concludes by saying that he left there, went to the house belonging to Titus Justus, a worshiper of God who lived next to the synagogue. So this would be a devout believer. And Crispus, the synagogue official, came to believe in the Lord along with his entire household. And many of the Corinthians who heard believed and were baptized. So even though he was largely rejected in Corinth, there were some who believed, like Titus Justus, like the synagogue official Crispus. His entire family, his whole household, believed and was baptized. And this is one of the points, too, to remember. That's why we baptize infants and children, because Irenaeus tells us that it was an apostolic tradition from the apostles to baptize entire families, not just adults. Some religions today say you have to wait till you're 13 to make your own decision to become a Christian and get baptized. But we see here in the Acts of the Apostles that entire households were baptized, which obviously would include children and infants. So it's a very biblical principle that the church says, yes, we should baptize the little ones as well.